Great music and talk radio.
On the hour. On
great
the hour.
Music and great music and talk.
It's 1 o'clock.
Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, March the 15th. You are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Scottish Sirkin.
Did you like my wee cloak?
I did. Jules McSirkin is back here with her claymore and her tartan cloak.
And you know it was purple as well, which is my favourite colour.
Do you know, without being funny, I'm not into all that tartan stuff. But that.
What do you mean you're not into it? Yeah, I've seen you eat a shortbread biscuit.
Oh, absolutely. But that purple, blue and grey tartan that you've got is fabulous. And funnily enough, this is how this all comes together.
Mm.
In my local menswear shop, which is fabulous in Tenterton.
What's it called?
County Clothes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Where you frequent.
Where I frequent once or twice a day. They've got a jacket in there that is a very similar colour. It's not tartan per se, but it's got that kind of grey, charcoal grey and purple weave in it.
Is it tweed?
It is a tweedy jacket, and I've been hanging my nose over it and the waistcoat that goes with it for some time.
Yeah.
But the one they've got, which they're holding for me, doesn't fit, or it didn't fit. It was too small. But if I'm lucky and finish my lunch, I might be able to get into that by the weekend.
Well, I saw you with your lunch. Now, listen, I have tweeted out a picture of Mr. Andrews crunching his celery. All must be said. I also saw a picture of you at the Women in Business, Kent Women in Business dinner, eating a little salad too.
Yeah.
Very admirable.
Absolutely. It was quite funny, actually. I was sat next to an absolutely lovely lady called Bronwyn. And
Bronwyn.
Yeah. And when I picked my lunch some time ago, or picked my meal, sorry, from the menu some time ago, I wasn't thinking about diets. So, of course, when they served it, they went, well, who's the brie? Who's the deep fried brie? And, of course, it was me. And I thought, well, I can't eat that. So Bronwyn said, I'll tell you what, I'll swap it. I'll have your brie and you can have my salad from what, I can't remember what she had, pate or something. You can have my salad. So I had her salad and she had my brie.
So hang on, that was the starter, was it?
Yeah, that was the starter.
Okay, and what was your secondo?
What was my? I had salmon. I had.
That's very good.
I had poached salmon.
And because I had quite a lot of beautiful seafood in Scotland, I did work for one day, and then the rest of the time.
Blimey,
I
that was a novel.
Yeah,
that was a novel thing.
Yeah.
Working for a day.
Yeah, I worked for a day.
You must have been tired out after that.
It was a Friday. It was a Friday.
Was it a Friday?
But then,
did you have fish?
I did have beautiful fish on Friday. But let me just tell you this, because I can see you're wandering. Your eyes are wandering to the
top. I know, I'm just checking everything's
working. Your phone
working.
Isn't on silent.
Yes, it is.
I can hear it pinging.
No, it isn't. You're right.
I love it when I catch him out, listener.
Not very often.
Quite a lot, actually. First of all, I want to go back to your waistcoats, because I'm quite interested, because we went off on a roll on the food.
Mm.
But waistcoats, you do rock a waistcoat, and you look very splendid in it.
Thank you.
And that's since you were styled, weren't you, quite a while back?
I was, a few years ago now.
Yeah, you've always looked very good since then, I think.
Mm.
But then let's go back to Scotland, because I must say thank you to Scott Food and Drink for giving me some amazing recommendations, and also Fiona Richmond. You can follow her on Fiona Richmond 8.
Wasn't she an actress?
It is an actress's name, you're correct.
Mm.
But this is a lady that promotes Scottish food and drink.
Scottish food and drink?
And the whole slow food, food movement.
Hello, Fiona.
She was on Scoff and Quaff a while back, just before Christmas, when I did a Scottish special.
Did you?
And I had a lot of whiskey.
Why did you have Welsh people on it?
Scottish.
Oh, that's Scottish, is it?
It's a wee Scottish person.
Okay.
So what happened was I did a couple of tweets in, I went to the Adamson in St. Andrews.
The Adams family.
The Adam Sun, which is absolutely fantastic. But it's funny you say that, because if you see the video of the cocktail, if you saw, did you see my live Periscope on Friday night? Probably not, because you were at Women in Business.
No, I was at Women in Business, so I didn't see it. No.
While you did that, I was having this cocktail, which was very much like the Adams family would. It was a smoky, like Uncle Fester would have had.
Right, okay. Yep, got it. Yep.
And you added a Prosecco to all sorts of things, I can't tell you. And the owner of the bar, Julie, discovered me tweeting about them, and she took me into the cocktail bar, and I had about four of those.
Kicked your head in? Oh, right.
I had about four of those, and the next day had to have lots and lots of Scottish breakfast to soak it up.
Did you have a traditional Scottish breakfast? Did it have, did it have white pudding, would it?
White pudding.
Did it?
Haggis.
Did it?
Neeps. Tatties.
A thousand
Why
years.
Why am I going up and up? I don't know.
A thousand years ago.
Yeah.
I worked in Scotland on a fairly regular basis.
As were you on an oil rig?
No, no, no. I was working as a management consultant. Mm-hmm. And I was working in the oil business in Aberdeen, but I was doing work for the Highland Health Authority as well in Inverness. Mm. And I stayed in a hotel between Inverness and Aberdeen on the Peterlee Road.
Right.
At a small village called Peterhead, which is right on the North Sea. Mm. And I used to stay in a pub hotel called the Udney Arms.
And was it good?
It was absolutely brilliant.
You drink in those days?
I was just going to say, back in those days, I used to drink. And Elsie, who was the lady that owned the Udney Arms, she used to come down. There were two of us that were working there. And she'd go, okay, boys. She said, look, I'm going to bed.
No, she didn't say it like that, did she?
No, but I can do her accent. I can't do Aberdeen accent. She said, I'm going to bed. Here's the key to the bar shutter. Write down whatever you drink, and I'll put it on your bill in the morning. And don't forget to lock the bar when you go to bed. Yeah. Good night. So we sit up all night drinking this stuff. And then she did the most amazing Scottish breakfast with white pudding and
it is
and
incredible.
Fried tatties.
And they do those potato falls.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
So she found you in the morning slumped on the floor.
Yeah, and then just shoved breakfast under my face.
Oh, wonderful.
Absolutely.
Well, you should go back and see Elsie. Let's go back
and
see
her. That was in the mid-1970s. It was a long time ago. And for years, they used to send me a Christmas card every year, even though I hadn't gone back there.
What was this place called?
The Udney Arms.
How do you spell Udney?
U-D-N-Y.
Well, we shall track it down.
Yeah, but I did go and find them, but it's now a chain pub that's owned by, and they've long gone. But anyway, enough of all of that, enough of the Scottish reminiscences. We've just managed to waste 10 minutes talking about that. So thank you for listening to the Kent Business Radio Show. We'd like to hear from you, the businesses of Kent, as always. And you can get in touch with us in the following ways. You can call us on 01 303 874 998. That's 01 303 874 998. You can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on the show is to tweet me at VanillaWeb. Now, I've got a special request for today's show sponsors. Today's show sponsors are Dice Matrix Consulting. And Dice Matrix are a quantitative marketing company. That's my description, not theirs.
So just if putting my lunch away.
Yeah, I would.
Which I've eaten.
So if I've got that slightly wrong as how they bill themselves, I apologise. Mm. But basically what they're doing is they're trying to collect data that they can compile into a report to make change happen.
Okay.
And the thing that they're looking
at... What
kind
of change?
Well, let me explain. The thing that they're trying to look at the moment is small businesses' views on insurance and insurance brokers.
Interesting.
Yeah. So they've got a survey, and what they're hoping to do is to get at least 100 small businesses to complete that survey, so that that's some meaningful statistics. They are then going to analyse the data and take it to the insurance services industry.
Yeah.
To a conference and present their findings and say, this is what your customers want.
Yeah.
Why aren't you doing it?
What a fantastic idea.
So what I'm asking you guys to do out there, please, is to complete the survey.
Yeah.
And what we've got is a blog that explains it all in detail and then some links to click the survey. The survey is a very quick survey. It doesn't take long to do. It asks for your email address, but I personally promise that your email address is not going to be used to sell you insurance or indeed any other product, and it's not going to be used for anything other than to make sure that, it's a legitimate survey person. So if you would do that, on the front of the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website at the moment, there's a big orange banner at the bottom that says help shape the SME insurance market. If you click that, it will take you to the link where you can fill out the survey. Or you can go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/blogs, broken broker. That's the blog about it, broker. Broken broker. I can't say that.
No, I could.
Broker,
I noticed.
Broken.
So
broken broker.
On. Broken broker.
Broken broker.
So yeah. B-R-O-K-E-N, B-R-O-K-E-R.
Yeah, broken broker.
And what's their Twitter handle? Tell me again.
Dice Matrix or UK Lime UK.
Okay, I wonder where I've got the lime in there.
No, well, that's Sarah Rabbit's email address. Okay. She's one of the people that work there, so that's actually her personal Twitter handle I've just given you. But the company is Dice Matrix.
Dice Matrix.
Yeah.
Well, Martin White has sent a lovely photo in of Martin White of Supply My Biz of his pussies in bed. So just thought that
you did that deliberately. You waited until I'd just taken a slurp of coffee and
Martin,
then you said that, didn't you?
He went grey. He went grey and his mouth dropped open. Now, his pussy's in bed and he's not feeling well, poor thing. He's got man flu.
Who, Martin?
No, he's
got
man flu.
I saw him yesterday. Get well soon, Martin.
Did you breathe on him?
Everybody's dropping like flies.
I know, you were
Natalie
saying.
And Craig from this parish are both down, and Mike Thompson are all down with...
We're fine.
We must have spread
you
it
and
or
I,
something.
We might be, what do you call it?
Plague Marys.
Spreaders, yeah.
Yeah, Plague Marys.
Yeah.
Right, I've had a tweet. From
just
Vicky Rimmer. I've had two. Vicky Rimmer, who is known on the Twitter as Mum Books...
Okay.
...has tweeted, would you please give a shout out to the fabulous Emma Hegarty, MCB, who was a winner of the Kent Women in Business Finance Award last Friday.
Let's do that. I love the name Emma Hegarty.
Yeah. Emma's been on the show.
I know.
From McBride's Accountants.
Yeah. McBride.
McBride's. Yeah. So thank you for that, Vicky. Big congratulations to Emma and to all the finalists, runners-up and winners. There are lots of them. I'm going to compile a full list in the next week or so and read them all out. Just off the top of my head, the prizes that I presented were to Natalie Beneg for Arts and Creative Businesses.
She's listening in from her deathbed.
From her sick bed. Her sick bed, yeah. And also Amy McManus, Elle Cloak, loads of ladies. I'll get a full list
mostly of all our listeners.
Yeah, basically.
And our guests.
Yeah, basically. I'll get a full list of the runners and riders, finalists, runners-up and winners, and we will cover the lot in one go. But what a fabulous evening last Friday. A massive well done to Hilary Steele and Sue Smith. Another fabulous event. The Kent Women in Business Awards 2016 was a smash hit. More than 250 lady entrepreneurs in attendance on the night. Brilliant night.
With you in the middle.
Well, there was me, Limbit Opik, and Lisa Settle, and a couple of other people.
She's not a man.
No, but we were giving out, I was just going to say, if you let me finish.
We were talking about men.
No. Well, it was me and Limbit, and then... Because, of course, we're
old
mates.
Then you mix Lisa Settle into that.
And then
I
said, Lucy Settle was with Lucy. And Lucy.
Lucy was there.
Yeah, no, Lisa Settle was with us, and as were a number of other people. Bronwyn Williamson, Lorraine, can't think of all their names, but we were the people presenting the awards.
Okay.
Yeah, but a fabulous night. A fabulous night.
Well, Lisa was the one that sent me a picture of your salad.
She was indeed, because I was sat next to the lovely Lisa Settle. Caroline and Liz, Riverford _ Kent. It's the Organic Sisters delivering to office and homes throughout Kent. Veg, pantry, fruit, Riverford.
Very well read there, Paul Andrews.
Thank you.
You see, that's what you need to have now, your rabbit crunching. You're organic.
A delivery of celery.
Did you know? Yeah, I get my celery from them every week. Did you know, Paul Andrews, your average carrot, non-organic, is sprayed about 17 times
really?
With pesticides? Yeah.
Blimey.
Yeah, you don't want to eat it. You want to have an organic one.
So it's bulked up, is what you're telling me.
With pesticides.
Had a tweet from Kent Tweet Ups.
Okay. What
Business Bunker. Saying? All our Tweet Up venues on our website. kentbusinesstweetup.co.uk.
So they put a link you could read.
They actually put a link I could read.
They must have a very good social media expert doing that.
I wouldn't have thought so.
I think it might
It's probably you.
It is me.
I know it's you. That's why I didn't think so. And while we're on the subject, Elsie Moe of Canterbury.
Oh, that's me too.
Oh, is it? Elsie Moe Diner on the Twitter.
Are they saying, yeah, I'll come down now?
Yeah, no. This one says, could we have a shout-out, please, on the Business Bunker? We are your USA diner in Canterbury.
Ah, I wrote that well. I think I wrote that on the way back from Edinburgh last night while I was eating a great big pie on the plane on, who was I with? Ryanair.
Your husband.
I was...
remember him.
CO1 again on the way back. Yes, it's splendid.
Okay, cool.
First on, first off.
It was a pleasure also to meet. I spoke.
What were the dresses like?
Where?
Oh, the Kent Women in Business. Come on, what were they wearing?
I don't gawp at women at things like this. There was a whole range of very finely dressed ladies.
What was the predominant colour? Was it a lot of red this year?
No, it was very mixed actually. Some of the ladies were wearing shimmery evening numbers.
Yeah.
Some were wearing party frocks, and a few were in trouser suit. It was a whole range.
And did you? I can't remember what you were. I have seen people. Did you wear your waistcoat? Look,
I did. I wore a dinner suit. Yeah, with a waistcoat. Yes.
Did you wear the one that I've seen you in before? Sort of nice velvety one.
I did almost get my velvet jacket back on.
Next week.
I could have worn it, but it was a tad...
It would have looked a bit toad hall.
No, it wouldn't. It didn't look bad. It was just a little bit tight under the arms, and I thought, I've got a long way to go here, and it might annoy me by the end of the evening, so I didn't wear it.
Well, you're doing very well. You've lost how many inches?
6 so far.
Yeah.
Around my waist.
As we know, most men call 6 inches about 9, don't they?
It was great to go to Discovery Park. Oh, goodness sake. I went to Discovery Park first thing in the morning yesterday morning for the inaugural networking meetup of Supply My Business, organised by Martin White and the team at Supply My Business. Fabulous turnout, loads of people there. We were also celebrating the commencement this week of National Apprentice Week.
Yeah.
And the apprenticeship team from East Kent College was there and gave a talk on apprentices. And a fabulous event it was too. And while I was there, I bumped into Peter Andrews, who is from KFMS. And they are a accounting company. And you can follow Peter on the Twitter at Peter KFMS Kent. Peter KFMS Kent. Jules.
I'm going to read a wee email, I think, just to bring us into
line. Are we going to have this for the rest of the show?
Yeah, a wee email.
Okay.
I did actually ask for a wee port. Had a lovely, lots of lovely meals. I have to say, Scottish fish is incredible. I thought Kent fish was incredible till I tasted Scottish scallops and mussels and
get on with
limpets.
It. Just get on with it.
Didn't you say it?
I was with limpet with on Friday night.
See,
yeah.
The trouble is, I've worked with you too long.
Yeah.
You know all my jokes. Telco Business Breakfast. Now, this is coming up on Tuesday, the 22nd of March, and it's at the Cote Brasserie in Bluewater. Mm-hmm. The guest speaker is the lovely Hilary Steele of Loving a Potato Book and the Kent Women in Business Awards and many other...
Kent Women in Business Magazine.
And she's got another magazine out, I think, and Blab.
And Blab, yeah. She's very prolific, that girl.
She is. Mm. Right, so it's 17.50. It includes a full English and a tea and a coffee. They'd like a donation, or donation goes from that for the ticket prize going to support Lisa Settle's charity bike ride, which is from Vietnam to Cambodia, which is in aid of women and cancer. So, women fighting cancer and possibly some research there, I would think. You can contact the lovely Lisa at Telcare. Her email is lisa.settle, S-E-T-T-L-E, at telcare.co.uk. And on the Twitter, she's at Telcare Limited, LTD. And you can also contact Amanda Flanders at Butterflies and Dreams Events. And the email is butterfliesanddreams@outlook.com. You can tweet them, butterflies2019. And you can get tickets from Eventbrite Telcare Business Breakfast. So she's looking for bums on seats there. It's down in Medway, as I said, at the Cote Brasserie. And it's next Tuesday, the 22nd of March, 7:45 in the morning. You could pop there before the Business Bunker, couldn't you, Paul Andrews?
You could indeed.
So go and support that and and tell them you heard. And you'll hear about Hillary's new favourite subject, which is blab. You can find the hashtag BLAB and see what it's all about.
Cool. I've had a message from Andrew Bottelli of The Hunting Edge.
Oh, I used to love him.
He's lovely. Yeah. He's young Andrew.
Yeah.
And he says, hi, Paul. Enjoying the Business Bunker show. We've recently spoken with Phil Eyden, E-Y-D-E-N, who is a local historian and writer and longtime member and supporter of the Western Heights Preservation Society. Now, you may remember we did a thing about this. The Western Heights Preservation Society look after the redoubt at Dover.
Yeah.
And they got broken into and they got all their tools nicked.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, well, we're still talking about the same organisation, the Western Heights Preservation Society. Anyway, this chap, Phil Eyden, who's a local historian, he's just produced a book called Dover's Forgotten Commando Raid.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah, and Andrew and the team at The Hunting Edge have agreed to put the book on their website to help him sell it. It's a limited edition book, and he's happy to sign copies. The book is on sale for £15, but £10 of that is going to the Western Heights Preservation Society. Yeah, which is brilliant. So over two-thirds of the price is going there. And Andrew says, we've agreed to host the product free of charge to help the Western Heights Preservation Society further. I'd be really grateful if you could give us a shout-out on the Bunker Show today. There is a short synopsis in the description of the product range, and here's the link for it. And to find the book and find out what it's about, you can go to the following website link, The Hunting Edge, all one word, thehuntingedge.co.uk/product/ Dover's Forgotten Commando Raid. We will put that link on the Kent Business Radio website.
Sounds like a really interesting book.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can get a signed copy of it. And £10 of the £15 cover price actually goes towards the Western Heights Preservation Society. So thank you for that, Andrew. And absolute pleasure to read that out. And good luck with the book and the Western Heights Preservation Society.
I'm going to read a wee email about Laura's Ball, raising money for breast cancer, because it follows on from Lisa's. Mm. So it's Saturday the 8th of October, and it's at Leeds Castle, which is a phenomenal venue. Breast Cancer Kent is a local charity which funds state-of-the-art equipment for the breast care units of Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells hospitals. As part of the fundraising plan, we are organising a spectacular ball at Leeds Castle, and we're looking for sponsorship from Kent companies to support this life-changing charity. So this is a good way, as you know, if you sponsor something, you can cash in on the PR.
Absolutely.
And get mentions right, left and centre. So they're looking at buying breakthrough technology equipment for the detection and treatment of breast cancer. And this type of equipment is something the NHS just can't afford. We can also fund wellbeing programmes for aftercare, which is, I think, when a lot of people do need it, when a lot of women. So the story, and men can get breast cancer as well, Paul. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
The story of the ball's name is that Laura was a very young lady who became such a dear and valued committee member. And she came up with the idea of a ball in 2014. She organised this for us whilst battling her second round of breast cancer. From her bed in the hospice, she dreamed of doing it again in 2015. Sadly, Laura lost her battle with breast cancer in the autumn of 2014. And we now hold the ball in Laura's memory. So that's a really spectacular memory there for Laura. Laura's Ball, it's Saturday the 8th of October at Leeds Castle. You can part sponsor the ball. It's £1,500, which means your names will appear on all literature, advertisements, tickets and programmes for the ball, along with banners on the night. And you'll get regular references by the auctioneer and the master of ceremonies. If you go up to 2,000, you can host the reception drinks. The host will meet and greet the guests with a glass of champagne. So that will be you hosting. You'll also be able to accompany the guests before dinner is served. And you may wish to bring along literature and signage. For £2,500, you can host the reception drinks with a table for the evening. This will include a three-course dinner for eight, followed by an auction, a raffle, a magician, and music by the Blues Brothers, Little Brother, and a disco until 1 a.m. And you can also host the reception drinks with a VIP table for the evening. So lots going on there. Contact Helen Tier 07736 649524.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Jules. We're going to now play a bit of tunage.
What we got?
Well,
something Scottish.
Well, when we come back, we're going to be talking to our first guest, right. Atlantic rower, Mr. Ollie Clark.
Yeah.
So I thought, what do you think?
So
I
nothing
thought,
Scottish then.
Nothing Scottish. We're going to be talking to Ollie Clark, Atlantic rower.
Rock the boat.
No.
I'm sailing, Rod Stewart.
I am sailing home again, across the sea. I am sailing stormy waters to be near you, to be free. I am flying like a bird across the sky. I am flying, passing high clouds to be near you, to be free.
With local Kent businesses at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com.
Rift Accounting. The accountants of tomorrow, today. Riftaccounting.com.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show. It's now an absolute pleasure to welcome into the Counting House the Rift Accounting sponsored section of the show. And we're going to talk to Ollie Clark from Row Atlantic. Ollie, good afternoon.
Hi,
welcome back.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me. Yeah, it's great to be back.
Yeah, absolute pleasure.
Land.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, have you got your sea legs still?
It was horrendous getting off, but a couple of days later we could walk straight and didn't hit too many door frames, so it was good.
Cool. You very kindly came on the show before you set off on this epic adventure last year and told us all about it. Can you just very quickly remind the listeners what the Atlantic Challenge was all about and your and Dan's part in it?
Yeah, of course. So it's a Talisker Atlantic Challenge itself. It's rowing from La Gomera in the Canary Islands all the way over to Antigua, approximately 3,000 miles, unsupported. There's classes of four people in a boat, two people in a boat, and one person in a boat. We set off in December, and it took us 42 days, wow. 17 hours, and 53 minutes. So we
not that you were counting or anything.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And we managed to win up our pairs group, which was fantastic, and yeah. Raising some money in the process for our two charities, which is Prostate Cancer UK and ABF, the Soldiers Charity.
Fantastic. This epic voyage of yours must have taken determination and resilience. Two of you alone in the Atlantic. It must have required some amazing teamwork as well.
Without a doubt, a good sense of humour and understanding each other was key. Mm. Both Dan and I had sort of low points and high points, and we sort of helped each other out, sort of get out of those low points, and would encourage each other the whole way. Mm. And not to mention the times before. So the team itself is bigger than just Dan and I. It's our families, our friends,
yeah.
And the support we had. So, and likewise, Rift was part of the team, and our other big sponsors were all part of the team. So, made it happen, which is fantastic.
Absolutely. So, give us a flavour of what you two guys went through on this epic journey.
Where do I start? Getting to the start line was probably the biggest challenge, if I'm honest.
Right.
Just raising the money and the awareness. Mm. Once we were there, it was the easy part, so to speak. We set off guns blazing to sort of have a bit of impact on the fleet itself, and it was 2 hours on, 2 hours off when we settled down. So I rowed for 2 hours while Dan was maintaining the boat himself and trying to get some sleep. And then we would rotate, and if we had chance, we were feeling good, we would sort of both jump on the oars. We were sort of faced with quite large waves. We had a couple of storms which saw us capsize.
Wow.
40 degrees heat, stuck in a cabin, wasn't too pleasant.
So let's just explore that a moment. In the middle of the Atlantic, in a dirty great storm, and you've capsized. Is that both of you out of the boat, or, you know?
I was driving, so it was my fault, really.
It was you, yeah. Dan did mention that, yeah.
So Dan was in the cabin trying to do some bits and bobs. I caught a sort of quite large wave. We were hand steering at this point because our steering broke. So we're going down this wave, which is great. And then a larger one came in from the side, which I didn't see coming, and just tipped us over. I sort of got plonked in the water. Right. And it righted itself, thankfully. Mm. I jumped back on, sort of a bit of a sort of damage assessment, and then obviously checked if Dan was all right. And then jumped back on the oars, and Dan had to deal with the dirty cabin because
the bailing out. Yeah,
yeah.
Blimey!
What support did you have if things did go really wrong, Ollie?
So all the mechanisms were in place to, if anything did go wrong. So we had a sort of emergency beacon if we really needed it. We had comms via sat phone to the duty officers, which would give advice. But ultimately, we were by ourselves. It would take 3 days for someone to come and rescue you, unless there was a passing ship that would, if we called a mayday, would have to come and rescue us out of sort of legalities. So, yeah, up to 3 days from rescue. It's a little bit daunting, but made it quite exciting at the same time.
Absolutely. If I remember rightly, and forgive me if I've got this wrong, yourself and Dan are both members of the armed forces, yeah?
Just myself, actually. Dan works for a...
He can get in. They wouldn't let him in, huh?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
certainly for you, and I'm sure for Dan as well, you're quite used to doing these kind of challenging projects, I'm sure. But in terms of just two of you alone in the Atlantic and things going wrong, I want to explore a little bit how you motivate, encourage, support, and keep each other going.
Mm.
Again, another interesting one. We both were pretty determined from the off to do well, to cross the Atlantic, and we didn't want to let anyone down, pretty much. We didn't want all this hard work to go to waste. So we were pretty resourceful in how we came up with solving problems. We knew what our end goal would be. We knew the next day we would have a high, like we would get an email from someone which would lift us again, and we'd be on cloud nine, and then something would break and we'd be down there. But it was just maintaining the end goal, really, knowing that in a few more days we would be a few hundred miles further, a few more days we'd be almost halfway there, et cetera, et cetera. And before you knew it, we were at the finish line.
Just like that.
What was the worst point then, Ollie? Was it sort of in the middle of the journey? Probably
during the storm, some bits and bolts broke. So we'd had a run-up of breakages from power to water to our steering. And in the storm, our arm that attaches itself to our rudder, the block broke off. So it was between the two of us fixing that in 40-foot waves in a sweltering cabin, and also not knowing where we were in the race, because we didn't know whether a team were 200 miles north and on a nice current whizzing ahead, and we were stuck, stagnant, not being able to make any difference to our progress and possibly losing our lead. So that was probably the lowest point,
right,
I would say.
Okay. As you said when I asked you, it's almost impossible. You must have so many stories and so many things must have happened to you. I want to explore something slightly different, though. Obviously, this is primarily a business show, and we talk to a lot of small business owners and entrepreneurs. And entrepreneurs are normally kind of defined as people who take risk in the hope of some kind of gain, maybe financial or whatever. I'd like to put you on the spot and kind of ask you what kind of advice you would give to people that are thinking of taking on something as risky as rowing the Atlantic.
Oh, good question. It's certainly an element of risk versus reward, without a doubt, and not being able to fail, not being scared of failing. If you're worried about failing, you're never going to achieve what you want to, because you're never going to push your limits, you're never going to push your team.
Right.
So without pushing your limits, you've got to take risks to push your limits.
Yeah.
So I think that's the connection between extreme sports and entrepreneurship and businessmen that have been successful in what they do.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, it does. And I don't want to miss the first bit, because I think the first bit of what you said there is crucially important as well. What you intimated there was you need a baseline to start from. In your case, some sailing skills or rowing skills or some kind of, comfort zone with the boat. Because without that, you're nowhere. And I think that's a really good point that, you've got to start from somewhere and you've got to have a starting base that you're comfortable with in order to take the next set of risks.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, Dan's the sailor, so I had complete confidence in his knowledge.
Right.
I suppose I've got my military background, which sets me at a level of understanding the body and being in tricky situations.
Sure.
But for both of us, we'd never been in a rowing boat. I'd never been middle of the Atlantic or been subject to storms like that. So it was, an interesting thing, but we had a go at it and it turned out all right. So
I think you had more than a go at it. That's the biggest understatement. We had a go at it. They won. So bring us up to date with where, stepping ashore when you got to the finishing line. Just take us through that last few moments of that voyage and how you felt, what you saw, what you knew at that point.
Yeah, of course. I mean, probably one of the best feelings in our lives, I'd say.
Wow.
So coming around the corner, it was pitch black, and we'd wondered whether we should maybe slow up to come in the day for a better reception, but we're thankful. We wanted to go as fast as we could, so we ploughed on to try and make last orders.
Sorry to interrupt you there, Ollie. At this stage, were you aware of where you were in the race?
Yes, we were. Yeah,
yeah.
We knew we had about a day's lead on the guys behind us.
A day's lead.
About that. So 70 odd miles. So we knew we were ahead, and we were confident towards the latter stages that unless something went drastically wrong, which it could do, we would hopefully managed to get the win of the pairs. But certainly coming around the corner to see super yachts lighting up the sky, and then friends and family as we came in and crossed the line, they lit up their flares, and that illuminated us and everything around. It was incredible. Wow. And then as we came round to the jetty where we were mooring up, yeah, there were probably 100 people all screaming and shouting. It was, yeah, fantastic. Certainly very memorable.
I'm sure it was. I mean, as you said, it must be one of the highlights of your life so far to
Definitely.
Achieve something like that, having never done anything like it before. Absolutely phenomenal, phenomenal achievement. And you raised loads and loads of money for your two charities.
Yeah, so we've done all right so far. Well, the boat's come back and we collected that yesterday.
Right.
So a lot of the money's held in the boat. So when we sell that, we'll have a better idea. But we're estimating around the £80,000 mark.
Wow.
For the two charities, which would be fantastic.
Can I just ask, you're going to sell the boat. In what way are you going to sell the boat? Are you just going to put it on eBay and see if someone wants to buy
it?
We can go
off next year.
Is there an auction for it, or what's going to happen?
So we'll put it on a couple of websites that do
boat sales,
rowing boat sales, and just word of mouth, really. There's sort of a niche bunch of people that are interested in it, but it's everyone knows each other within reason, so we've had a few interests in it.
I don't know boats. I'm more of a land-based person, and I used to own a motor racing team. And when we sold our cars, we always found that we got a premium for the car if we'd won something with it.
But they can't say sort of two lady vicar owners, can they? It's been all around the world.
One careful lady owner. No. But what I'm saying is these guys won with it. And you know, so it's got to have a premium on that boat because it's a winning boat.
Hopefully that'll keep the price and if not push the price up. It's a sort of proven boat. And because it was from new, we've sort of ironed out any issues that we had with it, so it should be even quicker next time, and we've got advice to go with it. So.
Absolutely. I'm going to ask you a $64,000 question, Ollie. Would you do it again?
To be honest, I would, but merely just to try and get a quicker time. That was something we sort of aimed for, tried to get close to the 40 days, the record mark for the pairs, but see, one thing led to another and we just couldn't, so that would be the only reason. But at the same time, there's other oceans out there, there's other things to do and see.
That was going to be my next question. Have you got another project that you're thinking about at the moment?
Not at the moment, it's just sort of knuckling down back
to
work.
Give the poor man a chance.
I've got things he could do, don't you worry.
And I don't know if my girlfriend would be too keen on it. certainly a couple of running things, I think, coming up. I know that Dan's signed up to the Marathon de Sable, which is, I think, 7 marathons in 7 days in Sahara. So he's got that to look forward to, and maybe I'll join him, but we'll have to wait and see.
Ollie, I mean, it's almost no words to describe the achievement that you two guys had with this. It's absolutely fantastic. We're really made up for you. And we're really pleased that, you know, we spoke to you before you went and we heard about all the preparations and all the things and all the concerns that you had about it. And then to go out there and blow everyone's socks off and actually win your race. And I mean, it's brilliant enough to have made it in one piece, to have actually won it as well. It's just a fabulous, fabulous achievement. And we're in total awe of yourself and Dan over this.
Awe.
It was absolutely brilliant. Did you get it? Did you like my pun?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I want to ask Ollie, I know you're winding up. I want to ask Ollie something. Apart from your lovely girlfriend, what did you and Dan miss most? And what was the first thing you did, you know, when you got back on land and away from everyone else?
I think it was, certainly the people we missed most, just catching up with people when we got back in. Didn't miss aspects of food as much as I thought, but certainly a fruit salad I missed when I was halfway out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And a cold beer.
Right.
But no, thank you to you guys for having us on again.
Absolute
really
pleasure.
Support and likewise with Rift and all our other sponsors.
Absolute pleasure.
We wouldn't be able to do it without you guys, so thank you very much.
Absolute pleasure. And anybody that wants to find out, there is a blog on the Campus Radio website that tells you all about this, and it's got all the web links to Ollie and Dan's website and the challenge website. I think you can still donate money?
Yes, we'll keep that open until the boat's sold.
Brilliant.
And sort of checks are passed over, so please help out. Thank
you. Absolutely. And all the links are on the Kempis Radio blog. We'll post the links to that so that everybody knows. Ollie, fantastic, fantastic achievement. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show again. It's been an absolute pleasure to spend 10 or 15 minutes talking about this wonderful, wonderful thing that you've done. And we wish you much luck for the future.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, and take care of yourselves.
Yeah. Cheers, Ollie.
Thank you. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Incredible story there.
Absolutely incredible story. Ollie Clark, Tasker Atlantic Challenge, pairs, winners. 42 days, 17 hours, 52 minutes.
And Dan, wow. Remind me Dan's surname. We'll come to that in a minute, won't we, Paul Andrews?
We will, yeah.
And well done, Rift, as Ollie said there, because, you know, for helping them. And that, like, he'll be doing loads of television interviews. And
I'm sure he will, yeah. It's an interesting thing. I've no idea. I mean, Ollie's a serving soldier, so he's, you know, he's busy doing his work and stuff like that. But it is an interesting thing with these young guys. I met a guy whose name has also escaped me about...
It's your age, darling.
It is. About 2 years ago. And he does something slightly different, but he decided to bicycle places.
Bicycle places, yeah.
Yeah. So he bicycled the entire American continent from Tierra del Fuego in the south to Alaska in the north in one cycle ride. He just cycled from top to bottom.
Well,
on his own.
That is pretty tough. And just imagine the different climates he must have gone through.
Absolutely. And he did that. And then he did a walk across the Sahara and the Gobi and a few deserts. And then he decided to do a smaller challenge.
Right. What was that?
He walked round the M25.
He walked round the M20. Yeah. Well, probably a good idea because you can never drive it.
No, it was quicker than driving.
But did he really?
Yeah, really. In the snow, he walked the entire way round the M25, camping overnight.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And it was interesting chatting to him. And basically, he's an explorer, an adventurer. For a living. Mm. And he was saying it is difficult to find different things to do.
Well, walking around the M25 sort of tops that, doesn't it?
It does.
Very odd.
But the reason he did something as kind of
banal,
weird as that, is that basically how he makes his living is writing books about his journey.
Right.
Yeah. And selling the books, obviously. That's how he makes his income. Mm. So my journey around the M25 is actually quite a quirky book to read.
Yeah. It's a bit like Whitstable Woman in Custard Shortage.
Exactly. So, it's interesting. And so I'm sure that Ollie and Dan have got a book in there somewhere, because I've had conversations with both the guys and stuff, and seen and heard some of the other stories, which aren't for radio broadcast, but are, you know, great after dinner talks and stuff like that about their bodily issues and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, do you remember when they're on the beginning? I upset you because I was asking about their bucket scenarios
exactly.
And how they.
Yeah.
I expect that's where they started the Gardelieu. You know,
exactly.
That's where the loo comes from. Mm. The word loo. What is their Twitter handle? I'm just scrolling down to see if I can find it. Or is that something else I need to ask you?
It's Atlantic. It's on the tweets I've been tweeting out. It's Atlantic something or other. Atlantic Rowers. Atlantic Rowers 2015.
Okay, so if you want to follow Ollie and Dan, Atlantic Rowers 2015.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you. It was really fascinating catch up with those guys. Yeah.
And you're going to buy the boat, and then you and I will do the challenge next year, will we?
Something like that.
So, yeah.
Could you imagine that?
I'm taking some oranges because he said he missed vitamin C.
Could you imagine that?
Yeah. I can imagine you rowing and me lolling about.
Right.
I'd take some Prosecco.
I've got
a rubber ring.
Thank you. I've had a message here from Steve Humphrey, who's a friend of ours locally here. And he says, "Hi, Paul. Hope all is good on the Business Bunker show. Not sure if you're aware, but I have Roy Ayers, Lonnie Liston Smith and a great funky band from Newcastle called the King Bees. And they're performing at Ashford School on Bank Holiday Bank Holiday Sunday, the 29th of May. We expect to sell out the 500 tickets for the evening show. It's going to be a mini festival from 2 p.m. until just before 11 p.m. We have bars, food, stalls, etc., where we expect around 1,500 visitors during the time. Would you be able to give us a shout out and ask any businesses who are interested in setting up a stall to contact us?" Now, he hasn't given me any contact details. So what I'm going to suggest is, if you're a business that wants to set up a stall there, or to be there, or to help in any way, then you contact me by emailing me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk, and I will pass on your details to Steve.
And just to recap there, the Atlantic Challenge, Row Atlantic 2015, and we're just talking to Ollie Clark. His lovely sidekick there was Dan Parsons.
Of course it was.
And thanks to Nautilus Yachting, who have been listening to the interview, and a big hello to Nautilus Yachting as well, who are based in Edenbridge, Kent, would you believe?
Mm. Sorry, yeah, and Jodie Lawler's just put me right as well. She says, Vanilla Web, it's Row Atlantic 2015, not Atlantic Row. You're quite right, Jodie.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We got them. That's fine. Yeah. And we've retweeted. Well done, Jodie.
Yeah. Thank you. Jodie took the most epic selfie yesterday as well.
Did she?
Yeah.
I found that selfie we did at the beginning of the show very odd. Because your eyes, I had to look at the camera to see where I'm pressing. So your eyes look very odd, I think.
My eyes look odd.
No, one's eyes.
Your eyes looked
one's
odd.
Eyes.
Your eyes looked odd, not my eyes. No, nothing wrong with my
one's
eyes.
One's eyes.
No flies on my eyes.
Did you know there's a free breakfast networking which is sponsored by Cripps, who I frolicked with, actually, at the, what was I at? The Taste of Kent Awards a couple of weeks ago. They were all there, the Cripps chaps. One of them was in a kilt. Mm. 8 to 9.30, including a full English breakfast. And they're covering framework agreements, the role of heads of terms and letters of intent, the differences between agency and distribution agreements, as well as issues around confidentiality and non-disclosure agreements. So lots going on there. It's called Demystifying Contracts for East Kent Business, and the guest speaker is Irfan Baloch of Cripps, and I believe I met him. And it's Thursday, 21st of April at Canterbury College, Canterbury. So again, 21st of April with Cripps, 8 to 9.30, full English. Details on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Cool. I've got a couple of shout-outs that are close to our hearts here.
Yeah.
So I want to say a massive congratulations to our very own, that's Fruitworks, very own Kelly Culver, who's Kelly Culver 96 on the Twitter, who has made it into the Kent Online Top 30 Under 30 list.
Well done. That's
fantastic. And at 19, that's a brilliant achievement.
Yeah.
So brilliant. Well done. And we're made up for you, Kelly. Fantastic stuff. Well done. Also, a massive well done to Laura Burton Lawrence of this parish, the host of the community show and co-host of Women in Business, and she was the winner and a very well-deserved winner of the Crowborough Chamber of Commerce Customer Service of the Year 2016 award.
Well done there.
And of course,
Laura,
of course, apart from me and you,
because she does have a lot of sport at home, doesn't she?
She does, from the lovely Russell. Yeah.
Rustling up a curry and...
apart from me and you,
yeah,
it seems that every presenter on this radio station has won an award, because also
they're in bed ill
or both.
Yeah.
Well,
we didn't go in for any, though, did we?
True.
You have to go in for them.
Also, a massive well done to Natalie Benaig of Kent Creative Live Show, who won the Kent Women in Business Creativity and Arts Business of the Year 2016.
Finally deserved that.
Yeah. So well done to all of you. That's a fantastic, fantastic result.
Yeah. And if we had have entered, I don't think we'd have won, do you?
Probably not.
Probably not, no. Yeah. They'd have glossed
over
us.
Not unless they had an OAP category.
The only time I won one at Kent Business Women in Business Award was taking Sally for Cakes thing, and I had to do her
You collected her award.
Yeah, that was good. Everybody said, well done, Jules. I said, no, actually.
I normally present awards. I don't get them.
No, well, but you don't go in for them. I shall nominate you next
Thank
year
you.
For Kent Women in Business.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. The best... pretend woman,
the pink tutu.
Yeah.
I'll send them that picture
for services to pink tutus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That'll work.
The Business Bunker Show is very pleased and proud to be a co-sponsor of this event. Richard Torball Photography is holding a special full-day business headshot event at the beautiful Grain Store Studio, which is located just off the Junction 7 of the M2 on the outskirts of Faversham. I've been there. It's a lovely building.
I've been to Faversham.
No, I've been to the Grain Store, Studio. It's lovely.
You? Have you had your picture taken?
No, not. I have had my picture taken by Richard, but there I actually took part in a TV programme.
Okay.
Which was fine. Anyway, it's not about that. For just £69, you can book a one look, one image session that gives you the best headshot you've ever had in just 20 minutes and at a very affordable price. You can book this by dropping him an email to richard@richardtorble, that's T-O-R-B-L-E, photography.com. So Richard Torball Photography is all one word, Richard Torball, T-O-R-B-L-E, richardtorballphotography.com. Or you can call him on 07791-513-706 to book the slot. There are only a limited amount of spaces available, so don't hang about. And the event is taking place at the Grain Store Studio, Faversham, on the 24th of March. So do follow that. Or you can follow Richard on the Twitter and find out more about it. It's Artobel Photo, if I remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, because I always, when I look at it, I always want to call him R. Noble for some reason. I don't know if there's an N in there.
He's not noble at all.
No, it was like Lisa Settle. I used to call her Lisa Metal because she's got an M in her.
It's Lisa M. It's Lisa. Yeah. Her name's actually Lisa Marie.
Yes, I know.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to call her Lisa Metal.
I'm sure you did.
My brain used
to. Because you're silly.
Yeah.
Vicky BT Associates. Vanilla Web. Paul, please can we have a shout out on a Business Bunker show? We're a first aid training company and we're Kent based and family run, and you can find out all about our first aid training, and they've got some fantastic courses over the next couple of months in and around Kent. There's an emergency first aid at work on the 3rd of May in Canterbury, and there's a paediatric first aid on the 19th and 20th of April also in Canterbury. But you can find out about all their courses by following them on the Twitter, and Vicky BT Associates' Twitter handle is in fact Safe Well Green. Safe Well Green, all one word, and follow them on the Twitter.
Now, Peter Cookie is asking when to call in, so shall I say now?
No, if he could call in about 2:05, that would be brilliant.
Lovely, I'll tell him.
Yeah, if you tell him that. Peter wants to talk to us and wanted to call in, but he didn't want to interrupt. I've also had a tweet.
Polite, some of our listeners, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. I've had a tweet from the Innovation Centre at Medway, known as IC Medway, on the Twitter, and it says, oh, no, it doesn't, because I've just lost it. Oh, where's it gone? Oh, say something, Jules, while I find that
tweet
again.
Okay, there's a pay-per-click introductory. It's at 10 o'clock till 4. This is with Kent and Victor Chamber in Ashford. The price is £150 plus VAT for members and non-members, £295 plus VAT. In this course, they say, we introduce you to pay-per-click, explaining the theory behind it, show how to navigate the dashboard and get you started on pulling together an account and campaigns to get you on the way to a successful AdWords account. That's Thursday, 24th of March, and you can contact Kent and Victor Chamber in Ashford. There's also an advanced course that they're running. So again, if you want to go on the advanced one, it's Wednesday the 27th of April at 10 till 4, and similar, exactly the same price. So it's £295 plus VAT for non-members and £150 plus VAT for members.
Cool. Right, I found it. The Innovation Centre at Medway, IC Medway, which is a fabulous resource if you haven't been there. They say, Paul, could we have a shout out for our fabulous office space for Kent Innovators and, of course, hosting your great event tonight? There's an event going down there tonight for the Federation of Small Business.
Yeah.
But the Innovation Centre at City Way, Chatham, by the Rochester Airport there. Fantastic, fantastic place. Great place to do business and great office space. So do check it out. You can follow them on the Twitter at IC Medway. We've had a tweet from the lovely Sally Laker.
Baking a cake.
Sally for Cakes, who's listening into the Business Bunker show, doing wonders with her deaf football team and her cakes and all the other things that Sally gets involved in.
I don't know how she fits it all in.
No, absolutely. She's brilliant. So do check that out. And we've also had a tweet, hold on, from Joe Dodds, who's got a new Twitter handle.
Yeah, she has.
She's got a new Twitter handle, and it's Power to Live More.
Love that.
Is that new Twitter handle? Yeah, one word, Power to Live More. And she says, we would love a mention of my two-minute email survey if you get a chance. And you can do the survey by going to Joe's website. And the website is powertolivemore.com. powertolivemore.com/email survey. So powertolivemore.com/email survey. Or you can follow Joe on the Twitter at Power to Live More, which is her new Twitter handle, and you can find that link and go to it directly. We'll also put that link on the Kent Business Radio website. So do check that out. Do fill out that survey for Joe. That would be lovely. Fruit Bowl Media has sent a tweet that says, hi Vanilla Web, could we have a shout out for our web design company in Canterbury? We have some awesome resources here. fruitbowlmedia.com/resources. fruitbowlmedia.com/resources.
And of course the lovely Venom Tech, those pioneers with
happy birthday to them. Happy birthday to them. They're 6 years old. Dear. Happy birthday, Venom Tech. Happy birthday to you.
To you. 6 years old, as Paul Andrews says, so that's brilliant. Well done to you. They don't say what Venom of the Week is this week.
I'm sure they will in a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. So happy birthday, Venom Tech. Well done. 6 years. Fantastic. Do you know what?
Tunage?
We're going to play a bit of Tunage, have a little bit of a break, and then when we come back, we've got another guest to talk to.
Is it The Proclaimers, something Scottish?
No. See if you can get it. Get that, name that tune in one.
Rock the Boat. It's something with a jangly beginning. And coconuts. And...
Shout!
Shout!